Welcome to the Love and Thunder podcast. Josh, so excited to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on. I think your handle on your picture says Dave Lipson, but we'll go with that.
I'm not David Lipson. Okay, for people at home, whenever they're going to listen to this little resume of Josh, Navy SEAL, super CrossFit game star, and now very successful business owner. I mean, literally everything you do is elite. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I, you know, I had a great training partner back in the day. It helped me get there.
Yes. I don't know how much of it is true, but yeah, I mean, we can talk about that. You were, and I like to literally say this as like, I like brag to people about it because I really think that you're one of the coolest person and you're by far the person I had the most fun to train with ever. But I like been going around for years saying that you were my first training partner and it was such a unique experience. I think the way we used to train versus like now.
Yeah, it was different times for sure. You know, I don't train with anybody now, so I don't really know the new young athletes, but when we were back in our day, we got after it. You were one of my first training partners, to be honest too. I don't like before you, I trained a lot on my own. You know, and then when you came to San Diego and Invictus, yeah, that was like, it was cool. It was fun. It was fun having another like elite level athlete at the time, being there to train with. And to be honest, having a female instead of a male was kind of cool to the extent that where we weren't actually competing against each other. So it wasn't like we were, you know, sharing secrets of like training secrets, you know, things like that. So it was cool. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think the exact same thing. It was so nice to, I feel like our personality when it came to training was very similar. Like we both just kind of wanted to put our head down and work, right? And that was like almost like it, this underlying rule that we both had was like there was no whining, there was no like, you know, being babies, and it was just like very stoked to have someone else that wanted to come suffer. And yeah, I've always appreciate that about you. And also, yeah, there was no, I think the fact that you were a guy and I was a girl, it was like we weren't like going to, you know, we could both win the CrossFit game,
right? Exactly. Yeah, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And because
yeah,
I was like, because and for me especially, like, don't get me wrong, I liked training with Rich. When I trained with Rich, I like training with Matt, I like training with Dan, I like training with all those guys. But with me, I used to like hate my competitors when I competed against them. Like I had to have that like hate in my heart, you know, and like let it out. Where with you, I just wanted to beat you in our training sessions, you know, of course, like I never wanted to lose, but there wasn't this, like, I have to hate this person because in the end of the day, she's my ultimate competitor. Where it was more so you, you know, you were just, it was fun to train with because you, like you said, you could put your head down and grind. You weren't complaining. So many people would either complain, quit, walk away during workouts. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I saw the best in the world walk away from workouts, and yeah. It always blew my mind. And so, you know, the way that you composed yourself, the way that you went after workouts, the way that you like your competitiveness as well, where you wanted to beat me just as much as probably I wanted to beat you, was always really fun.
Oh yeah. I mean, nothing like, I think some of like the small spark of things that would make me so happy in a, you know, in a workout is especially when I see like I would see you look over at my rower, just that little glance that for me would be, oh my God, I used to call them window. Right. And it's like when you can feel your competitors starting to worry about something, it's like, you know, it, they like are just letting you know that they're suffering, and they're like, oh, are you willing to push through that window right now? So those are always the moment that I was like, oh my God, he just looked like, no, let's go.
So, yeah, yeah, they were fun. They were fun. There was definitely like, Yeah. And you always knew, like, for you with, when it came to gymnastics movements, I was like, okay, I'm not going to make my time there. Like, where am I making my time? Was it Olympic weightlifting? No, probably not there either. So, you know, it was always like choosing my battles when to push when I was competing against you, for sure.
Yeah. I just didn't want you to lap me in every long endurance. I'm sure it happened a million times. It was don't let Josh see you cry. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I like, honestly, like when I look back at my career and at everything, that's the stuff I miss. Like, I just miss training with like good, fun people. And I think I like realize as I'm older, it wasn't like really like the competition or like all of the other stuff, but it's kind of this like grind and reach towards something to be better, like that you get to share with other people.
Very true. You know, having that similar personality where it was more so winning the games was obviously the goal, but like having fun compete and having fun while you're training, while you're working towards a goal together. It was really cool. Those were great moments that I will always cherish with all of my training partners as well.
Woohoo. So overall, what I heard from you is that you like training with me better than you like training. I've And you just wanted to beat me and not kill me. So I'm very happy.
It was fun. It was fun. Great times for sure.
So I want to like go a little bit like down memory lane with you, because when I met you, I like met you in like one of the, I call them like those transition time of life, like where you're kind of flipping a chapter. Mm-hmm. And I met you like when you were like going from like kind of like Navy SEAL, the end of your career in Navy SEAL-ish, onto then like becoming more of like, I guess, who everyone like now know as Josh Bridge. And, did I just ruin your name?
It's okay. No, there's we can remove the S from my name. It's fine. A lot of people do. As long as you don't call me Jeff, I'm fine. Josh Bridge. I'll take Bridge.
So I just feel like it takes like a certain type of personality and like so much to like decide, hey, I'm going to become a Navy SEAL and then like go through with it and like, you know, be a rock star. So like when did that happen for you? Like you were you a collegiate wrestler, high school wrestler?
Yeah. So I wrestled in high school and college, left college. I only wrestled in college for a year. I dropped out of school after a year. I thought that, I wanted to go into the business world, became Mr. telemarketer on the phone, calling people, I think you knew this, but
what were you calling for?
So I worked for the phone company, and which was SBC at the time. Now it's SBC is now AT&T, but it was when people had landlines, which nobody has landlines anymore, or very few people do. And you had, you know, your phone, but then I had to upsell people like caller ID and call waiting and call forwarding and all those like cool little features that now is on everyone's cell phone, but your landline didn't have that stuff. And so you had to call people that already had our phone, already had SBC as their phone company, and upsell them into like, hey, let's add caller ID on your phone. I mean, you paid like $5 a month for shit like this, which is wild. You know, it's like now it's insane. And I did that for 2 years, which was awful. And then I switched to being a telemarketer, a loan officer. So I did refinances. I did, so when you buy your home, you have to go through a loan company, right, to get your loan for your home. And so yeah. I was the guy, you either got your loan for your purchasing your home or refinanced your home. And that again was a job that I just didn't love at the time. And then finally I met a buddy of mine. His name was Mike Singer. He introduced me to being a Navy SEAL and CrossFit at the same time. He was like, hey, I'm going to go try to become a Navy SEAL. And this is what, how some of these guys train. It's called CrossFit. And at the time, like, I wasn't even working out anymore. Like, I, after collegiate wrestling, I really got out of shape. I let myself go. There's probably a couple of pictures floating around out there somewhere. And I mean, I was eating terrible, drinking often, and just like not enjoying my life. My buddy Mike told me about this. He got kind of like, he's like, let's try CrossFit. I was like, okay. Kind of looked at it for a little bit. This is in early 2005.
Yeah, January. I was going to ask. I was waiting to ask, like, around what time that was.
Yeah, so.
That had to be in the, like, earlier days.
Yeah, so early 2005, like, pre-games. No, there was no sport of CrossFit. It was literally just a fitness ideology. And, you know, there was one website. It had every state on the side of the website, and it showed you which states had actually CrossFit gyms in them, which was maybe at the time, like, half the states had. There was not one in Missouri, which is where I'm from. And so I started buying equipment. I bought, like, bumper plates from a company that if you actually said, like, you call the company and you go, hey, I do CrossFit, they would give you a discount. Like, that's how early of a stage it was at. And so, man, that was really good. Cool.
People don't know, huh?
No, they have no idea.
I don't know how good they have it now and how easily available it is to even just try to do it.
Yeah, I used to go to a park. It was actually an elementary school that was by my house, and I would use the monkey bars. That's what I use as my pull-up bar.
Yes.
And I mean, there'd be a wall there. I bought a med ball. So a 20-pound med ball. So I did a lot of wall balls. I brought a really crappy barbell and had those, like, I had like a set of 45-pound bumper plates, a set of 25s and a set of 10s. And I still have all of those. And then I bought a set of rings, the red ones from, what was it named? Power.
Were they made of plastic?
No, the rings were metal, painted white.
Yes.
With
a plastic one, but it was like metal or plastic.
And they were red straps, the shreds were, yeah. And so, yeah, that was in the beginning days. I mean, no, I never had chalk. I was typically working out either in my backyard or at like a little playground. I remember bringing those rings up to the football field and hanging them over the field goal, field goal. And like literally some guy walking up to me being like, are you in the circus? And I was like, no, it was wild times for sure.
So that guy introduced you to CrossFit. And then is it like you training with him that you were like, hey, like, I like doing something that's tough. Maybe there's like more out there for me than selling iPhone.
I like, yes.
So hard for, like, okay, I love this because of when I like got to know you and we like grew to so many, you go through many versions of yourself, right? As you get older and like, it's wildly influenced by where you grew up. And then it's like finding yourself, and then hopefully you become more and more of like who you're like truly are, right? As you get older, it's your full potential.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to wrap my head around watching you in the little suit, like out of shape. Just
it was wild. It was wild times for sure. It is. I think as we get older, as we age, we're more comfortable in our own skin, right? We're more willing to be who we truly are and not try to fit in to whatever group that we are at the time. You know, and I think that the moment, I always had a little bit of that in me where I kind of stood out. I was always willing to be more of myself sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I still wanted to fit in. I still wanted to have friends. I still wanted to be a part of the group. But at an earlier age, I definitely felt more comfortable being like, no, I really just like working out and I like pushing myself and maybe I don't need to drink every night and, you know, go down that path. And I think that helps a lot. And, you know, now I, you know, I'm like trying to feed this stuff to my kids, you know, like, hey, like you get to be you, man. And like, don't ever try to be whoever your buddies think, whatever you, if your buddies, if you have to be a certain way for your buddies to like you, they're not your real buddies, right? Yeah. Be yourself and enjoy that and go after the things that you want to go after.
Isn't that part, like, as a parent, because I see it with Zoe, I see her being a certain way, right? And you're like, okay. And for me, I find it hard to figure out where the line is of how much do I just let her be freaking wild and like where does that, like, you know, maybe this doesn't really fit in a like normal setting. You know what I mean? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
No, for sure. It's definitely it's a hard line to find and push, and allowing them to experience failure, and but then also keeping them safe in the same way, in a sense, you know. And so it's tough. It's a you know, you don't get the, hey, you're a parent now manual. So you have to figure it out on your own.
Yeah. Yes. And all you remember is the, like, the whatnot and maybe what to that your own parents did. And they also didn't have a manual. So.
Right. Exactly. So it's tough. Yeah. It's really tough. Yeah.
Okay. So your buddy introduced you to CrossFit.
Yep.
Was he already a Navy SEAL?
No, so he was not. So it was like a lifelong goal of his. He was like, I've wanted to be a Navy SEAL since I was a kid. And I was like, man, that's really cool. I didn't come from a military family. Nobody in my family was really in the military that I can think of offhand. And so for me, I remember watching military style movies and being like, oh yeah, that'd be cool if I could get through that. And at the time, you know, you look at like boot camp and you think boot camp, oh yeah, boot camp will be tough. And then you get to reality and boot camp's not really that tough, but you need to, I need to find that. And then when he told me about the Navy SEALs, I was like, okay, let me look into this. And you know, you see the hardest military training in the world. These are the toughest guys. We do the hardest job. And you know, I always liked the challenge. I loved, like, I felt like wrestling really built a foundation in me where I had to be disciplined. Even when it really sucked or it hurt really bad, I had to keep pushing. And so having that background already, CrossFit kind of opened my eyes back to it, because I quit wrestling. And so I was out of that world for like 3-4 years, and CrossFit really kind of brought me back to my wrestling days of, wow, this isn't just a workout like bodybuilding or a fitness regimen. This is like a cool way to train that can be competitive. That was the coolest part about it. Like the younger, like early CrossFit, there was so much more emphasis on the metabolic conditioning, right? The Metcons, the Fran, the Elizabeths, overall.
Like more like of an expression of athleticism in some ways.
Yes.
To me, than like more specializing in something.
Yeah, where it is, it's definitely tending, well, especially for the CrossFit Games, right? Like the CrossFit Games, like it is getting very specific. Obviously you still see CrossFit there, but they have a lot of emphasis on one rep maxes and running modality and swimming as a modality. And, you know, those types of things where early days, it was really organic CrossFit where it was all a mixture and it was so cool. And so when me and Mike started doing it early on, like it obviously became a competition before it was even a sport. It was just like, I want to beat him at this workout. And I want to go faster. I want to get more reps. And so it was really cool. And it was really easy to fall in love with. And I saw instant like transformation, right? I saw immediately like, whoa, I'm like, my muscles are getting bigger. I'm getting more lean. I'm getting shredded. I'm like feeling more athletic again. And so it was like an immediate addiction.
Yeah.
And then once, as you know.
Yeah, I'm same. I did one workout and I signed up for the whole year that day. And I was like, something you brought up is that I relate a lot to is that it kind of brought you back to those wrestling days. So I used to be a gymnast, and gymnast also very disciplined sport, like your hands bleed and you keep going on the bar. So it's a very, it's quite ruthless with the amount of time in the gym too. And it's like, as you get older, I like didn't realize how much I missed, like kind of that discipline and just this like going hard, feeling proud of your effort type of deal at the end of the day. And yeah, super addictive. And then, then it's a game, right?
And then you have a buddy standing next to you that makes it fun because it's like, oh, I want to beat him at this. And it's not just this boring, I'm going to go in and do four sets, five sets of 10 to 12 reps and do this, do my bench, do my squat, do whatever, you know, it was fun. It was like different movements. It was Olympic weightlifting. It was powerlifting. It was, you know, pull-ups, push-ups, air squats, all these different modalities put together. And it was just a lot of fun. It was easy. It was easy to not get bored with it, because if you got bored with something, you could easily just go do something else. And so, so that was a lot of fun. And then me and Mike, we basically like, I kind of started to research more about what a Navy SEAL was, what their job was, what I should be training for. And I gave myself a timeline, and I decided that I'm going to do this. I'm going to give myself a year and a half to train, and then I'm going to go in and I'm going to, you know, go try to become a Navy SEAL. So it was a really cool journey. And it's cool that it's like, I'm still involved in the CrossFit world, because once it became a sport, I became a fan of it. And even before I could compete, I was watching the first CrossFit games in 2007. I was watching in 2008 when Katie and Jason won. And Tanya Wagner and Miko won. And then, you know, Graham. And I was just like, I just became a fan of the sport. It was just like, cool. And then I got to go to the CrossFit Games in 2011 and stand next to all those people. So it was really cool. It's been a cool journey for sure.
That's awesome. So, okay, this is like my biggest question. Did Mike go through Bud with you?
So Mike made it. He didn't make it very far. He, and it had nothing to do. Like, he was in shape. He was a bigger guy. He was definitely, he was thicker than I was. I was obviously 5'5". I probably back then was weighing more like 160, maybe like just under 160, maybe like 158. But then he was probably like 210, 215,
oh, wow.
Like 5'8", 5'9". He was a thick boy. And he, and I think he had some stuff going on at home that really got on him, that he came up to me. I remember like we got to day two of Buds, which was a big day for a lot of people to quit.
Start together.
Yeah. So we did start together. Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. We went to boot camp together. Went to NDOC and then started phased up in the first phase of Buds, which is the first part of SEAL training. And day two, he came up to me and he's like, man, I gotta quit. I gotta go out. And I kind of just looked at him and I was like, all right, man, like good luck, you know? And to be honest, it sucks how it happened. I think, you know, he went on and did other stuff in the military. I know he went a different branch. I don't know where he's at anymore. But we didn't stay in touch, but he was a great guy and I owe a lot to him. Like, he opened my eyes to a lot of things, and, you know, just because he didn't become a SEAL doesn't mean anything. It means that, at the time, that just wasn't where he was meant to be at. So, you know, he had, I think he had to deal with some other stuff. And so, you know, good on him that he did whatever he needed to do. And I'm sure he's happy with where he's ended up. So, yeah.
So excited to have this like cool happy ending.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy, and I owe a lot to him. Like, he opened my eyes. He changed the trajectory of my life, without a doubt.
I feel like I think like this happens to a lot of people, and it most definitely did happen to me. That you like kind of like started to see where your life was about to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then like kind of this, like someone just flipped that little switch under you. And it was like, sometimes like you have to taste like this, like kind of like boredom and this, like starting to be on this like pilot mode. Am I going to be that, you know, 9-to-5 person every day, to like realize that you don't want to be there.
100%. Like, I really, truly give a lot of me getting through buds and getting becoming a SEAL because I had life experiences that I knew that I never wanted to be a part of at the time of my life, right? At that time in my life, like that was not what I wanted to do. And it was easy for me to be like, when it got really shitty, when it got really hard, I'd be like, hey man, what are you going to do? Quit and go back? Like go back to the desk job? Is that what you want to do? And so it put a lot of things into perspective for me. And it was very, it was an advantage I felt like I had over some of the people who didn't have those experiences.
Yeah, I think it's, I couldn't agree more. Like, you not only do you not have anything to lose, it's like you know what you're going back to.
Right, yeah. That's
like so powerful. I think we don't want to experience bad, like not bad things, I would say. Because nothing is good or bad, it just is, right? But sometimes you think some things are the worst thing in your life and then end up that the catalyst that it brought is like so potent.
Yeah.
Okay, but what was the worst part? How did it work? I feel like everyone talk about bud and they're like, oh, this and that. And I'm like in my mind, because I'm so ridiculous, but I'm like, is there like mind games? Like is there puzzle? Like is there oh my God, your friend is like tied up in the back of this thing. Like,
no, it's, I mean, there's a lot of tests. You do a lot of testing. Every day is pretty much some sort of test, whether it's a physical test, whether it's a 4 mile time run or a 2 mile ocean swim or obstacle course or then you did actually like skill stuff where, you know, you actually had to take handwritten tests on certain things. So yeah, there's always all kinds of tests. And then it's just like the day in and day out grind, right? You're carrying boats on your head. You're carrying a log with you. You're doing long, heavy ruck runs. You're doing long sand runs. Like you're doing runs that you don't even know the distances where you're like how long you're going to be running for. So there's a lot of different, you know, things. And then you go into tactics. Then you go into diving. Then you go into shooting. Then you go into different types of, you know, land warfare. So there's all kinds of things, right? It's like this, like that's the greatest, the coolest thing about being a SEAL was that you touched a lot of different things and you became really good at almost all of them, but you were not this like expert of anything. You were just like more of like a jack of all trades person. And then when you got to your team, you know, you'd pick one specific thing that you became really good at. But you also had all the knowledge of all the base knowledge of all the other aspects that we did in our job.
That's cool. So as you were going through Bud, like what was the, hopefully I'm saying this word right, because I don't want to be
Buds.
Buds. Okay.
Yeah, it has an S at the end. Yeah. So it stands for Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL Training.
Oh, I'm so happy you said that because in my head it's like buddy, like.
No, it stands everything in the military. Everything in the military stands for something.
Right? So it's not just bro and.
It's not just your buddy. No, yeah.
I'm like such an idiot.
No, it's okay.
So as you're going through all this training, because now, I mean, you've gone through it, you're on the other side, and now you have a whole business around helping hopeful to achieve the same thing. What back then, like, I don't know if you remember, like mentally, like what you did focus on or something to like keep you in it as like, because I think sometimes it's easy to go back and look at thing and be like, oh yeah, you do this, this, and this. But like when you're in the heat of like, you know, doing all those things for the first time without experience and really like, I'm sure like meeting a bunch of version of yourself that you might not be so proud of or like other version that you're like, wow, I didn't knew this, you know, person was inside me. Like, do you have like something back then? Like, what did you focus on back then?
Yeah. So, I mean, I did a lot of CrossFit. I ran 2 or 3 times a week and I swam once or twice a week. And the swimming was the really thing that for me was the hardest part because it was something that, I mean, I grew up like going to pools, but I never was taught how to swim. And so I literally just started jumping in a pool. And I mean, I remember the first time I did a 500 meter your 500 meter time trial. And I was like, I'm going to drown. And I'm in a 3-foot pool, you know, like it was not a deep pool. And I came out of that thing and my face was beet red. And I was like, I want to say I was doing, I think, breaststroke. And it was so bad. I was like, I'm going to die. But you know, if you put me on land running, pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, that was all fine. And like, you know, the PST, there's you have a test, right, that you have to pass to go to Buds, and you have to do a 500 meter swim, a mile and a half run, 2 minutes of max push-ups, 2 minutes of max sit-ups, and a max set of pull-ups. And you have to hit certain standards. Mm-hmm. And hitting those, like, even if you do the bare minimum of the standards, it is nothing. And it has no bearing on whether you're going to make it through Buds or not. Yeah. And I think that's the hardest part for a lot of people now. I get so many people who come to me and they tell me, I've been told not to lift weights and to just run, do push-ups and pull-ups. And I'm like, the person who told you that is one of the 80% of drop, like 80%, yeah. 80% of people who go to Buds drop out. And I'm like, the person who told you that was probably one of the 80% of people who dropped out.
Yeah.
I promise you that those things are not as important as what they lead on to be, because one of the biggest factors isn't if they can make the mile and a half time, or if they can do enough push-ups, or if they can do enough pull-ups. Most of the times their legs start to break down on them, right? They either get shin splints or they break their butt. Like something breaks on them, and it's because they haven't carried weight. They haven't created that muscular strength to when they are carrying logs or carrying boats or carrying a buddy or being on their legs all day long. Like their legs just start to break down on them. And the moment those, like your legs start to hurt, like, what's the first thing that goes is your mind. Like your mind's like, fuck, I can't do this anymore. Fuck, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to sit down. I want to put this boat down. I want to put this log down. And so I tell these people, I'm like, listen, like the reason why I went through one Buds class, which doesn't happen very often, I'm not trying to brag, but there was 322 people who started my Buds class. 44 graduated and became SEALs. 14 of us were originals. 14 went through with one class. That's it, out of 322. So obviously a very low number of people make it through one class. And the reason that I made it through was because, you know, I was prepared. I was physically, like I did CrossFit. I lifted weights. I squatted. I lunged. My legs were ready. I carried heavy objects. And like these people are being told this off. And I'm like, I think I posted this the other day where I was like, the person who tells you you should just run and do push-ups and pull-ups should also tell you, hey, you're going to quit on day two.
Yeah. You
know? Like that's it. Like you're not going to make it.
I mean, that seems so like to have such a narrow focus. Like, you know, if you want to be a Navy SEAL, it's like a career. It's like a huge commitment. So
yeah.
The idea to like tell people like do the bare minimum and then go save our country is right.
It's terrible.
In my head, it's like, don't you want them to be like freaking machine?
Exactly.
And I also believe like nothing like it's really hard to, and I mean, I'm obviously not a Navy SEAL, but I know hard work. And
you are a CrossFit Games champion.
Yeah, I do know hard work. And I think that it's like so hard to replicate getting humbled and constantly having to pick yourself back up. And there's something about, I think, like lifting iron, I can't even say that word, like lifting weight and like doing things outside your comfort zone.
Mommy. Like
that.
We got a visitor.
This is her current biggest issue in her life.
I love it. Hey, it's a big deal.
Oh, I love her so much.
But I agree with you. It's you know, it wasn't about just getting through Buds. It was more about like thriving in Buds. You know, I didn't want to just hang on and then get through. And I think that that's what happens when I tell these guys and I put them on my program, and like these guys always come back to me and they're like, man, I was like top of my class and everything. And I'm like, I know you were, because I'm not trying to like say it's because I like, I've had so many people do it now, and it's like, and then you get the few people who like, they just don't want to listen. I wish I could go around and smack every single person who's saying, just do pushups, pull-ups, and run, because I'm like, you are ruining these guys. Like, these guys could have a, there's so many great men and women even out there that could go through any of these selections. It's not just buds. It's any of the selections. And they could go out and they could crush them, but they're not being taught what they need, what they truly need to hear. And that's what's, you know, that's really one of the main reasons why I do it, because I saw so many tough dudes quit just because they were ill-prepared, right? They were given the bad advice, and, you know, and it sucks.
Yeah. I can tell how much passion you have for that. And, I'm sure it's so hard to be on the other side, like you said, and seeing, because I mean, you think about like those people and they have so much passion for it. And they're like, I'm going to like do everything I can to be there. And I like, they're there, like just like drooling, listening to like those people, like doing the run every day and their push up every day. And then they get there and they just get like smack in the face. And
yeah. It's sad. It really is. It's like, terrible.
Thing. Now what?
Say it again.
And they go home with.
Yeah, exactly.
Now what? Like, I was listening to the unquote expert.
Yeah, right. The expert that told me that, they gave me the advice that I listened to a T, and yeah, and it's sad. So I'm like, yeah, it's good to try to spread. I'm trying to spread that word as much as possible. Awesome. But it's fun. It's fun. It's like, I owe so much to CrossFit, because it opened my eyes to a different train. Like, maybe I would have gotten that bad advice from someone, and I would have went to SEAL training and then like dropped out because I wasn't prepared. But
then I would have gotten my house refinanced by
exactly. Then I'd still be exactly.
Okay, so you became a Navy SEAL, and then this is like, I like when I met you, and we were just talking about this before this podcast. You were like this sensation in San Diego, this like mystique person, CrossFit that was really good, and everyone was getting very excited about how good Josh was. Please, everyone, Google world record Fran.
Right? Yes, gold Fran.
And this is like the first time I saw you training with CJ back then.
Yeah.
But then you got deployed, so no one could see yet. Like, the world had to wait for Josh.
I don't know if anybody was waiting for me, but yeah, it was, you know, so that was 2008 when I did that Fran video. You know, the thing about for me was Dave Castro was one of my instructors. So he obviously.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah. So Dave was, you know, we did CrossFit in Buds and SQT. And so obviously he knew who I was. You know, obviously he probably didn't know, like, he knew that I was in shape, but he probably didn't know like how much I did CrossFit and how much I loved it. And
did he make you do a double under GHD workout with him?
Not in Buds. I think we did one in app later on in life. So
for everyone at home, this is funny because Dave Castro has certain movement that he's good at, and those are the only thing he will do against, like,
that's right.
And he's
a good ruck runner too. He actually is. And so I knew, that's why I used to train that shit so much, because I knew at some point he was going to put that ruck run in there. It took a long time. It took until I was out of the sport. But
yes, of course.
Know, right. But yeah, he's good at deadlifter. He's a good at he's good
that
at
was
GHD.
The other one I was trying to remember, the deadlift.
Yeah, deadlift was he was good at weighted pull-ups. So
his specialty was climbing, right?
Yeah, I think he was a climber. I mean, he's long, lanky climber. That makes sense.
What was your specialty?
So I was a breacher, which is the guy who opens either the door or whatever makes, basically, if you're going to make entry into place, like, you're the one that gets you in, like, makes the hole. Yeah,
that's nuts.
It's fun. It was really fun. That's a fun job. If anybody is
gut check every time. Like,
sledge and doors, you know, stuff like that. Really fun. It's the chainsawing doors. It's fun.
Oh my God. That's like, I feel like that's a lot of guys' dreams. Just a door and like make thing explode a bit.
Man camp. That's right.
Yeah. That's awesome. We need more of that. Like,
agreed. It'd be fun.
Like full raw, like stuff like that.
True. Very true.
Okay. So you get, so Dave was your instructor, which is hilarious. I mean, yeah. I don't know if it's funny or not. It's funny to me because I only know him in this, like in the sport. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, what was he like there?
Same. No different.
That's perfect.
Yeah. He was no different. He was not a different at all. He was, you know, he was very to the point, very matter of fact. You know, very good instructor. The things that he taught us were really good and well put. And he could make you good at things by explaining them very well. But then he was also an asshole, you know, like I remember a day where like in the military on Fridays, you know, you want to get off a little early during like when you're at home training, and Dave made us do this drill until like 9 p.m. And it was just, oh my gosh, it was so ridiculous. And everyone was so pissed, but it was just Dave. It was like, and you're going to make sure that all of this ammo has been shot by the end of the day. And you're not going to leave until it's all gone. And like, it took us like 10 hours, which I'm not complaining, but 10 hours of shooting, like a lot of people would love it, but like anything can be get boring or old doing it for 10 hours. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good or bad, everything is a context. So
Dave was, he ran us through some gnarly ruck runs in the mountains. He was, I always appreciated him. You know, some people hated him, but that was his job. You know, his job was to weed out who was or was not supposed to be there. So.
Yeah, there's a big difference between being good and being nice, right?
Exactly. It was the same job for him. Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
I would say it was the same job he had in CrossFit, right? It was like he was there to make the standards that you needed to meet to participate.
Yeah, and if you don't, like, you know, if you're trying to be nice, like...
You're right. anybody can do it.
I want people to be efficient and things to work.
Right, exactly.
Fact. Yeah, so, yeah, you know, maybe you can take your head out of your butt then. Like, so, yeah, here's that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was, I think we were talking about what the early days of when I started doing CrossFit or when people didn't know who I was, right? That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. So Dave obviously knew who I was, and then I would go into CrossFit. It's CrossFit San Diego actually at the time. It wasn't even Invictus yet.
Cause CJ started at CrossFit San Diego and then-
And so it was, so it's CrossFit San Diego and then that CrossFit San Diego's switched to Invictus. And so, you know, so CJ and, like Calvin and Michelle and I can't remember who else was there at the time, but yeah, like, so they knew who I was and I would always go in. I would go in here and there when I was home and do a workout and be like, oh yeah. And then 2011 happened and, I was home. I was on my training cycle. And so I was able to, I looked at the CrossFit schedule of 2011 and the stars aligned. And I remember, and I asked my chief, I mean, I've told this story many times, but I asked my chief, I go, hey, like, I'm only going to have to miss like one day, but I'd like to compete in this CrossFit Games. The winner gets $250,000 this year. And he looked at me, he's like, what's your Fran time? I was like, 202. And he goes, okay, you can do it.
You're so, like, there's more than one workout.
But I mean,
that's awesome.
But that was it. And then I, went and took second in the open to Dan, won the regional, and then took second at the games 11. So that was a fun, cool year for me.
That was a very high placement to start at and then have to maintain for years.
Right. You know what's crazy is I was thinking about this the other day, and this is going to sound, I don't know how it's going to sound, but it's how I truly felt. I remember going into CrossFit, and I think that if more athletes felt this way, you'd see athletes do better. Mm-hmm. But I literally wanted to win everything. I was like, my goal when I went into that season was, I remember CJ's like, what's your goal, man? And I'm like, well, the big goal is obviously to win the CrossFit Games, but my goal is to win every single workout that I compete in. I wanted to win every event. And I think I won 3 of the open events.
Yeah, you did win a lot of the
3 open events. I won the regional, and I won like, I don't know, 3 events in the open or 3 events in the regional. And then I won 3 events at the games and, you know, took 2nd, obviously, to Rich. But I mean, it was like I remember having these like insane aspirations. Like I didn't want to lose anything. Yeah. And I think now people are like being like, well, I know I'm really good at this, but I'm not good at this. So, okay, you know, I'm just going to maintain that. And it's like, fuck that, man. I wanted to kill everything in every workout. I wanted to dominate. That was like my only goal. And it took me to places that if I didn't have that mindset, I would never have gotten there.
Yeah, I like, honestly, I couldn't agree more with you. And I don't know if it's because of when we started or like, you know, the... Oh, yep.
And your wall's gone. No more wall.
Yeah, I have a...
Nice.
Oh, I can't film her. Where is she?
I love it.
She's right here.
Here we go. Party.
Oh, gosh. She's like, I keep hearing her like rolling on her little like bike. But yeah, coming back to that, like, I don't know if it's when we came into the sport, but I remember having this like insane thing in my head that was like, I can do everything. And it was like, I would just die. Yeah. And that was the only reason that I would end up rank-wise where I did end up, because I like that was my best.
Yeah, you wanted to win or do the best that you could in every single event. And you know, there's so many athletes out there that just like accept,
yes,
that like being bad at something not training at it. And it's
But for me, it was like, because, you know, this happens to you too. It's like, okay, you're trying, you want to be the best at everything. But then I would do an event and I would get humbled down. And when I would go back home, my first thought was always never again.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, never fucking again will I be looking at like legless rope climb and won't be able to do it. And I would do stuff so much just that I would like injure myself, because I would like, dude, practice too many fucking double unders in my shell, like shin splint and things like that.
100%.
But now I agree with you. I hear people are like gaming, like, oh, game your strength, make sure you're like win this thing, but then like be okay standing on the floor looking at rings because you can do muscle up. Like, yeah. That to me is the worst feeling in the world.
It was a different mindset for sure. You know, I mean, obviously one of the worst ones for me was the 405 deadlift in the 2013 games. Mm-hmm. And after that, it was just like, it was like, that will never, I went home and I was like, I mean, people thought I threw a tantrum on the floor because I was like upset about something. I was upset at myself. I was upset that I allowed myself to be put in that position. It wasn't because I was upset at Dave for programming the 405 deadlifts. It was damn, Josh, you really like shit the bed on this one, and you should have been training your deadlift, your 405 deadlift. And so it was very humbling, like you said. And
know yourself.
So yeah,
I'm sure you knew in the back of your head like that, you know, this is a weakness. Like maybe,
That's what you
don't get unless you're on the floor. Like, oh, everyone literally like shut your mouth saying that we're babies or this and that. You fucking come on the floor and put yourself and your soul in something, and then like get smacked in the face and like, you know, don't have passion or like.
Another thing for me too is people who don't have passion, right? People who aren't passionate about something. It's kind of odd to me. I'm so. And I know I'm insane sometimes. I know I'm crazy when it comes to certain things, and that's okay. I can handle that. But it's like, man, when I see people who just aren't like passionate or like really truly find something, and I really like hope for my boys. Like, and that's why I'm like, I'm not pushing them in any direction. I'm like letting them find what their like true love is. And like, I just hope that they find it. And then like, they can just like, they realize like, hey, I have this asset, my dad, who's a maniac, and whatever it is that they choose to be passionate about, like, I like, let me help you. Let me help guide you. Let me help, you know, figure it out. Like, let's do it together and, you know, make you the best at whatever you want to be the best at.
Yeah. I think there's no better gift. Like, and I'm very grateful that I have that for myself, and hopefully I can also give that to Zoe. I'm just grateful to feel like I have a purpose at all.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it doesn't like really matter what it is, but like, I'm just so grateful that I feel like I kind of find this thing with myself that like, obviously I love and I'm talented at, and I like can just like try to go all in, and it's, I'm contributing, you know?
For sure. Like having a passion, having a purpose, like you said, is a huge part of like where I think a lot of people are struggling right now, right? They're having struggles with depression, anxiety, you know, just like all these different things. And I think having a purpose and having a passion can, that's hilarious. it's just like, it can really help with all of those things though, right? Because it helps guide you. It helps put you on this like regiment and keeps you disciplined and keeps you working towards something. I think that a lot of people would have a benefit from having a passion or a purpose.
And maybe I feel like you and I have enough belief in our own self to like run through a wall. And, but I do feel like a lot of people, they just need like 1 ounce of that.
True. Yeah. You don't need to be crazy. You don't need to be insane like me. I know. I'm not.
Belief of like, I can, you know?
Yeah. Like it's like, you just need a little bit, right? You just need a little bit. And then that little bit will keep growing, yeah. You know? And then you just need a little bit of success in something too, right? Like,
as long
you know,
as there's light once in a while.
Yeah. You gotta have some success, and you gotta have some like to build that confidence to show you that you are capable of doing, of being great or being good at something. And
or
so
that when you work, it does bring results.
100%. Yes.
Like, that's the other thing.
Yes.
Okay. So you're now, I guess, a retired CrossFit game athlete.
I technically have never retired, but sure.
We retired.
Technically, we've never retired. I didn't have the parade, you know, and be like, I'm retired, I'm out. Like, it was like, I just haven't competed in 5 years.
Oh, I love it. It's like, yeah, I feel like that's the best way to do it. I feel like I retired, Josh. I was literally training for the next year.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I threw the wall ball and I let it drop on the floor, and they turn and I look at them and I go, I'm done.
Oh yeah, those days happen now. Yeah. You know? So after my 18th season, I knew that I had to have two surgeries. I had to have my knee surgery and I had to have an elbow surgery. And I was like, you know, like I didn't know if I was done, but I had an inkling. I remember coming off the floor of my last event in 18, and I told a couple people, I was like, hey, it's been really fun competing against you. And you know, I don't know if I'll be back. But if I don't, like, and this is it, like it was a lot of fun. And so I had that moment, those couple moments. And I remember walking off the floor after the final event. But then, like, you know, I had the surgeries and I'm like rehabbing again, like coming back from that knee surgery, you know, I'd done it before in 2012.
Yeah.
And,
watching you squat was painful.
Yeah, it still is. I still had some fight, but then there were just days where it was just like, anytime I picked the volume back up, once I was like cleared to like really go after it. It was just the body was like, nope, you're not.
I feel like when you get like real hurt and like you need to get through that, for me, it really put things back in perspective.
For sure. Like, yeah.
No longer invincible, and you're like starting to wear the work and your age.
Yeah, you move a little different, you know. I just remember like seeing older guys when I was younger, like still doing cross, and I was like, oh, I hope I never move like that. And here I am moving like that for sure.
Oh man, honestly, for me, like you and Matt Chan were like those examples for me, because
Were
a little older than me, and both of you with your knees, I was like, oh boy, I just
feel like I know, you know, and you like, you always like, I was always like in awe of the people older still doing this stuff, and I was like, man, like that's really cool, but man, they like every thing they do looks really painful. So painful. Yeah, it looks painful. And I'm like, I really hope I don't get there. And sure as shit, I got there.
Yeah, seriously. All right. So now like you have your whole business. You're honestly, I mean, in my eyes, you're thriving. I guess like from when I was training with you to see, just have a glimpse, you know, from the outside and what you allowed the world to see. Seeing what you're doing seems like you have a lot of happiness in your life, hopefully a lot of peace. And I just want to know, like, where you're at right now, like, what's your mission? I know, like, you paid the man a lot, like, more than everyone. And I guess my follow-up question to that is, like, are you broke? Like,
I feel really good because I only do things that don't really hurt anymore. Yeah. You know, I don't do handstand pushups hardly ever. Here and there, trust me, I'll do it here and there, but not very often. I don't do pistols anymore. I don't do a lot of Olympic weightlifting, because Olympic weightlifting just like hurts the joints. Yeah, hurts my joints. And so I really like squatting still. I love squatting. I actually like, you know, I want a 500-pound squat. I still have a goal. I want to squat 500 pounds and it's just for me. It's for no other reason. I'm not going to do a powerlifting meet. I'm not going to, you know,
boys as long as possible.
Too. I want to be stronger than my boys as long as I can. That's for 100% sure, true. And, you know, so I still squat, you know, I still deadlift, I still bench. I do a lot of I still do the cardio, the machines, because they're easy on my body. They're easy on my joints, but hard on my lungs, which I love. And so, I feel great. And I get to share these experiences with my boys. I get to train them. And to be honest, they don't do a lot of CrossFit. They do a lot more athleticism building, like a lot of jumping, plyometrics, Olympic weight, like Olympic lifting for building power, speed, and strength. Yeah. And not like what's your one rep max clean and jerk. And so, it's been really fun watching them grow as young athletes and becoming better and bigger and faster and stronger. And like, and then them having goals, like my little guy, like loves to lift, and because he's a little thinner than my older one. My older one has like, he came out of the womb with muscles, which was kind of crazy. And then my little guy is like a little bit thinner. Like he's built a little more, you know, less like lean, I guess is a better way to say it. And he's like, he wants to have muscles. And so like, he's into working out, and like once, and he asked me to go work out, and he's like, dad, let's go lift. And I'm like, damn right. Let's go lift. Let's get some.
God,
and so, like I got him, you know, squatting, deadlifting, doing, you know, the basics, building that good base foundation. And you know, getting him to become a better athlete. Like they both play basketball, baseball, a little bit of football, you know, so it's cool. It's fun. And, you know, newly married, which is amazing.
Congratulations.
You know? Yeah. Thank you. You know, Sydney does her own thing when it comes to working out, but lately she's like, I want to get on a little routine. And so we've been doing her one rep maxes, which has been really fun. And then like, I'm going to build a little strength cycle for. So yeah, it's been really cool, and that's fun. And we get to, you know, do that together, and that's cool. And I play a lot of golf. I love golf.
Yeah. But you get to, I mean, you get to train with your whole family now, stress-free.
And yeah. That is huge. Like, removing the stress of competing is good and bad. I miss it. I miss the stress. I miss the competitive side of it to some extent. But, you know, it's also very... I'm a better person for my kids and for my wife. 100%. I was not good. Sydney will ask me sometimes, she's like, do you ever think about competing again? And I'm like, no. And you wouldn't like me if I did. Like, I'm not a good person.
Yeah.
They would allow me,
honestly.
Yeah.
You would, because we support each other no matter what. But like, yeah, It's tough because it is.
It's very, because especially when you have a mindset like we do, where I'm not going to do it for fun. I'm going to do it to win.
Yeah. And I think that's like, you know, earlier you were like, I don't understand like people that are just okay with like, I don't think they're in it to win it. They're just happy to say that they're a CrossFit Games athlete. They're just happy to say that, you know, they try. And I don't think that that's my personality or yours, like in everything we do.
No,
you know, I'm a mom. You've been a dad for as long as I remember you. But now I'm like, I'm not just going to be a mom. I'm like going to be the best freaking mom I can be. And it's like, it's in my head in an almost obsessive way, just like the other stuff where it's like, you know, in the morning we wake up and like, I would love to like, you know, just sit down on the couch and be lazy and let Zoe watch TV, which sometimes she's allowed on the weekend, but I pull out the book and I read. And it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard to do those small things, but that's like, you know, my personal new mission.
Right. Exactly. Being the best at everything that we do. And that's a mindset. It's not just like, oh, they really liked CrossFit. It's like, no, like that a lot of times defines all of those people, like you, me, all the best in the world at anything. That anybody that is the best at anything in the world, it's probably, if you met them and talked to them, it's probably their personality with everything for the most part, you know? And it's, if you can hone it and like really dial it in, it's a good thing. It can also be destructive in some aspects, but
curve there, I think, with that type of personality, that it can, if you let yourself get too obsessive over it versus like focusing on the growth.
Yeah.
Like, there's like, I think like that distinction is very important to 100%. like be happy with the growth, because let me tell you, it's really hard to be the number one best in the world at multiple things, even though it's the goal. One is hard.
The goal is always there, but you know, it's tough. It is. It's a really tough, but it's fun. It's fun too. And, you know, it's, I'm excited for everything else to come. You know, it's not over just because I'm not doing CrossFit as a sport anymore. You know, there's still other things out there.
Better things. Yes. I mean, I'm saying this, I think it's hard for people to, I don't know, because they've never been in our shoes, but to me, like, there is no greater honor than having just a family, and like, and that to me is my biggest job in the world, and it's so important, and it's so much more important overall to be a contributing member of this society and hopefully like leave this world like a healthier, fitter, better place overall.
Right.
There's a point where like, you know, okay, it's pretty cool to be a CrossFit game and hopefully we did achieve some of that helping, but there's just something so much bigger about like removing yourself from that stage and like putting your head down and wanting to help.
Right. Well, you know, you just get to those new chapters in life, right? Exactly. And when you're in being a CrossFit Games athlete, it's all that consumes you. It's the same as when I was a SEAL, right? It was like, that was who I was. That was my everything. And when you get out, when you step out of it and you can look back on it and you can take away the good, the bad, remember the things But then it's like, you know, like there's the next chapter of your life. Life doesn't end when the sport ends for yourself, or when your Navy career ends, or when whatever. It's like the life continues to move on, and you know, you get to continue to grow and have new chapters, and it's fun. Yeah. It really is.
I don't want to take more of your time because you have people to build and little people to take care of.
That's right.
Tell everyone where they can find you. What like service do you offer? Like, what do you specialize in?
Yeah.
So people think and like take your brain and everything you know. And
I love it. Yeah. So, you know, Instagram is a great place. You see a lot of content there at @BridgesJ3. My website is it where you can look for my programming. I obviously offer a military style program. It's like basically anybody who's trying to go through a selection or just wants to prepare, you know, get themselves in the greatest shape they've ever been in. You have an hour program on there for general purpose programming. You have competitor programming. You have like a 30-minute workout. And so that's all josh-bridges.com. I got my YouTube channel that I relaunched. I'm putting out a lot of great content on there. That's just just type in my name, Josh Bridges, channel on YouTube. And then gooddudescoffee.com. You know, come taste the best damn coffee you've ever had.
Made by three good dudes.
That's right.
Awesome. Josh, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to jump on this with me.
Of course. No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on, Cammy. It's been awesome. Awesome to get to chat with you. And yeah, let's do it again.
Yeah. Honestly, can't wait to do a catch-up workout with you when we both laugh at each other of how old and broken we have become.
Exactly. Let's go.
All right. Thanks, Josh.